So Pilate was over Judah, and Herod was over Galilee. When he found out Jesus was from Galilee, he said, this is going to get me out of this problem. I'll let Herod take care of it. So they sent him to Herod, verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. He wanted to see who Jesus was, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with the men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. So Herod finds nothing wrong with him. He sends him back to Pilate. There's nothing wrong with this man. There's no crime here or anything worthy of death. Verse 12, and the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. So he says the second time, I haven't found anything wrong with this man. Verse 15, no, nor yet Herod. Herod hasn't found anything wrong with him either. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. So Barabbas was in prison. He was a thief, a murderer, a causer of trouble. And they said, release to us Barabbas instead of Jesus. And Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Wouldn't you hate to be one of those people today? One of those scribes or Pharisees that stood at the judgment hall and insistently cried out and said, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were insistent with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison. So he released Barabbas, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. He had Jesus crucified. Now, verse 2, let's read verse 2 again. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this person perverting our nation, forbidding to give tribute unto Caesar. He hasn't been paying taxes, and saying that he himself, Christ, is a king. Now, Christ's enemies, number one, Christ's enemies will always lie about Christ. They accused him of perverting the nation. He wasn't perverting the nation. They lie today. They lie and say that the Bible was written by man, when the Bible says it was written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of tickled when people say, you know what, I can't believe the Bible because it was written by man. Now, I'll believe Charles Darwin. I'll believe Plato or Socrates. I'll believe Carl Sagan. Of course, they're just human beings. I'll believe them, but I won't believe the Bible because it was written by man. I'm just saying Satan lies. The enemy of Christ lie. The Bible says itself that it was God-breathed. It's God's word. They lie when they pervert the gospel. They say Jesus dying on the cross, being buried and rising again wasn't enough. They say, some religions say, it was necessary, but it wasn't enough. Therefore, since it wasn't enough, you need to be baptized, you need to take Holy Communion, you need to have last rites, or you need to go through these different sacraments in order to be saved. They lie about the gospel. They pervert the gospel. They lie about the deity of Christ. Satan has always lied about the deity of Christ, and he lies about the deity of Christ today. The other, they call them great religions of the world. I just great because they have a lot of people. But they lie about the deity of Christ. And here in verse 2, they lied about Christ. Look at verse 12. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. Pilate was over Judah. Herod was over Galilee. They were not friends. But isn't it interesting that Christ's enemies become friends with each other? Now just watch this. When you get into Christianity and the things of God, you'll find that the unsaved will often unite against Christ. Watch this happen in our lifetimes. I guarantee you that this will happen to some degree. The Catholics will unite to some degree with the Muslims, with the Hindus, with the Buddhists. The false religions will ultimately turn on true Christianity, and they already are, but they will unite. They will become friends. We see it today in the ecumenical movement. When ecumenical movement means when different denominations will compromise on things they disagree on, and they unite on things that they agree on, and they join together. We have the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, and I just promise you that they will turn on Christianity. The enemies of Christ here, Pilate and Herod, become friends. Yet, it's interesting, Pilate says three times that he found nothing wrong with Christ. So you'll have some people that are religious who find nothing wrong with Christ but will not get saved and will one day turn on Christian people. Look at verse 15. And this is just a note. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Of course, Christ's testimony was perfect. He was sinless. And surely he's our example, isn't he? Although you're going to be falsely accused, although the enemies of Christ will come against Christianity, our testimony should be good. Testimony should be pure. Now look at verse 18. It says, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Number three, Christ's enemies even protect the wicked over Christian people. The enemies of Christ will protect wicked people before they'll protect Christian people, good people. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 28:4. They that forsake the law, those that are breaking the law, praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, contend with them. The wicked praise those that break the law. The righteous contend with them. That's why we have spiritual battles taking place in our country. That's why in Washington you have some godly people that are fighting for righteousness, fighting for America, fighting for our Constitution, things like that, and they're contending with those that are wicked. It's amazing how the press will defend a Bill Clinton or defend a Barney Frank, someone like that. They praise the wicked. They protected Barabbas, a murderer, a thief. They protected him, and they crucified Christ, the righteous one. Look at verse 23. Verse 23, and they were instant, means they were insistent with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them of the chief priest prevailed. Christ's enemies were only satisfied with the death of Christ. Nothing else was going to satisfy them. They were insistent upon his death. Now, make no mistake about this, in our society today, the Muslims are not trying to share this country with us. They will ultimately want to destroy Christianity. And you can take any religion you want, they want Christianity destroyed. It's not, we want to share it with you, but they want it destroyed. The atheists, the Marxists, the Muslims, the liberals, whoever you want to use, they want Christianity destroyed. These people were not satisfied for Christ to be beaten and released. They wanted him crucified. And the people in the world today are anti-Christ, anti-Christianity. They ultimately want it destroyed. And then finally, again, look at verse 23. It says, and the chief priest prevailed. Christ's enemies will often recognize this in this life, in this world. Christ's enemies will often prevail. They will get their will in this life. In Ephesians 2, it says, Satan is the prince of the air. Satan is the ruler of this world. There's going to be times when Satan prevails. They prevailed here with the crucifixion of Christ. And there are many people today that are walking the course of this world. And there are going to be many instances when they get their will. They get what they want. They do prevail over Christianity. It's interesting here, and I'll close. It's interesting that Pilate said three times, I find him innocent. He has not done anything worthy of death. It's interesting that Pilate apparently had the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. Found him innocent, and yet ultimately had him crucified. You may be sitting here tonight and you find nothing at all wrong with Christ. Nothing. You don't know anything wrong with Christ. And yet, if you're not careful, you'll let an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll let it slip away. Or you and I may have friends like that. They see nothing wrong with Christ. Nothing at all wrong with Christ. They believe he existed. They believe the gospel account. They know he was crucified. They know he was buried. They know he rose from the dead. They see nothing wrong with Christ, and yet they'll let the opportunity to receive Christ slip away and never trust him as their Savior. And I would say to you tonight, don't let that opportunity slip by. Don't let the opportunity to do something for Christ today and in this lifetime, don't let that slip away. So number one, make sure you know Christ. Number two, if you know Christ, make sure that you don't let it just slip away and lose the opportunity to do things for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.